Chapter 1. A beach house, thought Maggie, her head spinning like the revolving glass door that deposited her back onto 18th Street. People headed home after work, bumped and jostled along the sidewalk as she slipped in unsteadily. A house in Sag Harbor. Just the word Sag Harbor conjured up images of the kind of life she had never known. Sand dunes and waves, seagrass and farmers' markets, rich women with their sun-kissed faces stretched tight like rubber bands. "Are you sure?" she had asked incredulously when the lawyer had told her upstairs. "Yes, Miss Sheets," he had replied brightly. "Here it is, plain as day," he explained, tapping the will with his finger. "She wanted you to have it." Maggie shook her head, still not believing him. They hadn't spoken in over 4 years. It made no sense. "Sag Harbor is lovely, Miss Sheets. A beach town with a New York mentality." "Oh, do you have a house there?" she asked, not really caring if he did.
"No, we have a place upstate. My wife hates sand."
Maggie had nodded absently, thinking that hating sand said a lot about a person. She had to hate sand on principle, because of the way it crept into every uneven ridge of a hardwood floor, collected in grainy wet piles in the bathtub and settled in the rumpled ridges of bedsheets. It was impossible to clean. But to hate it as someone who didn't clean houses for a living, who probably employed someone just like Maggie to do it for her, that implied something else entirely.
"But back to you," he continued, "and Sag Harbor. The house comes with something."
"Something?" Maggie asked.
"Or someone, I should say."
Maggie's stomach dropped. Of course. Her mother.
"Yes. Yes, so you know Edith?"
No, I wouldn't say that. We met once."
"So you know that she had been living with Liza when she passed?"
"Passed," thought Maggie. Liza had killed herself. Past was not the right word, not even close. "Yes, I know." Maggie looked down at her feet, thinking about Edith. What must it be like for her now, she wondered, in the aftermath of her daughter's death. Maggie hadn't exactly been a fan of Edith's. She had treated her like the help at the one lunch they'd shared, despite Liza's repeated attempts to clarify the fact that they were friends. But no mother deserved her child dying before she did. The lawyer clasped his hands in front of him on the desk. "Edith has recently been diagnosed with early-stage Alzheimer's," he announced.
"Oh, no," said Maggie. "I had no idea. Liza and I, we hadn't spoken in some time."
"Yes, apparently the diagnosis was quite recent. 2 months ago, to be exact."
Maggie rubbed her temples, overwhelmed. "I'm sorry. Isn't there a family member better suited for this?" she asked. "I clean houses, Mr. Barnes. I've never cared for an elderly person. I don't have the first clue about it." Maggie's mother had been dead a long time, and her father had begun a new life with new kids shortly thereafter. She'd never even seen either of them old, she realized, much less cared for them. She thought back to all of the times Liza had scolded her about her financial recklessness, her relationship decisions, her lack of ambition, the fact that she wore a denim jacket in February. Why would she choose her for this?
"No, I'm afraid not. Edith is the only remaining member of Liza's immediate family, and as an only child, she had no siblings."
"And what if I don't take the house? What happens to it? And Edith?"
"The house goes on the market, and Edith goes to an assisted living facility nearby," he answered.
"And Liza didn't want that?"
"No."
Maggie wondered when Liza had written the will, and whether or not she knew that she was going to kill herself at the time. She felt a stab in her heart, imagining Liza sitting at her desk in her old apartment, making the decision to bequeath everything to Maggie, of all people, snacking on her fluorescent orange peanut butter crackers, the crumbs of which always ended up everywhere, and sipping from one of her Diet Coke cans that always left impossible to erase rings in their wake.